All that I have is a hallelujah. Except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. So good to be here with you this morning. What a beautiful harmony that was, huh? All that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah, and I throw up my hands. That song, when sung like that, beautiful, beautiful. Good morning to all of you. I really appreciate you joining in this morning on this April 15th, tax day. And guess what? I still have not paid mine. So we'll see how this goes. But until I see something happening in this country financially that benefits the American people, I'm willing to take the risk. Now, I did file for an extension so that I could make a better educated decision rather than just haste. But as of right now, they're still not getting it. But I'll tell you who is getting my love, my tithing, my respect, and my attention. And that is the Lord. It is Holy Week, Tuesday of Holy Week. And that means, ladies and gentlemen, that today is the day that Jesus taught in the temple, blessed the temple, did wondrous signs as the people of the city were welcoming him with open arms, loving him, singing Hosanna, Hosanna, the Messiah is here. Well, they got it right on those first few days, didn't they? But we all know what happens on Thursday. And that is where the devil starts digging his fingertips into the situation, thinking that he's got the upper hand, that he is going to kill the very Son of God. Long story short, that didn't work out too well for him. He played right into God's ultimate plan and his design. I'd like to say good morning to Moose for Trump United. Good to see you, Meemaw, Shan, and Trishy. Good to see you, my sister Crystal. OSS Ninja, GR Messick, Water Cop. Frack Man is in the building. OSS, by the way, good to see you back. Hope things are going well. You know who I miss? River Rat. Maybe they're on vacation. But I haven't seen River Rat in quite some time. Now, I know some people are also saying they can't get the video to work, only the chat. It's 9 times out of 10 because your cache in your device, CHE, is pulling old data. And either your app is not up to date, your browser is not up to date, or your device is not up to date. And it doesn't hurt to reset your internet once in a while. Or maybe even connect to the internet on your device if you're using your mobile phone and you're just using the data. There's a lot of different things you can do to figure it out. Jess says, I wonder if it's because the all-day stream. Well, that really wouldn't matter to anyone because it's just a stream we're pushing out. So it doesn't matter where it's pushing out from or when. If everybody's connecting to it like you, then everybody should be able to connect to it. It really, what we're doing on our end has no bearing on what's happening on your end. We're connecting to the Rumble Cloud. Some people are not. So it's definitely a problem on their end. But the best thing to do is just try to troubleshoot yourself. I know it's not easy, especially for the, you know, mature and aging population. These things are so hard to figure out. But support at rumble.com. If you've tried everything else, will help. Okay? Also, I sent you an email this morning. What I'm going to start doing is, because we have an all-day stream now and you don't see the description of the show until after or before, then what I'm going to start doing is I'm going to start posting the thumbnail for Rise Up and the description and the link in your morning newsletters. That way you have them so you can share appropriately. Okay? Today's show is titled Blessing, Not a Burden. Blessing, Not a Burden. And it's episode number 572. I'll go ahead and read this for you now. Episode 572. It is a blessing, not a burden, to carry your own cross like Jesus did and like Jesus commanded us to do. Remember when we learned that verse from Luke, if you don't pick up and carry your cross, then you cannot be a follower of Christ. In Jesus' day, carrying your own cross literally meant you were about to be crucified and killed. What does it mean today? And what does Jesus expect? Or what does Jesus mean or expect when we do carry our cross today? Well, we're going to talk about it while we share the gospel, not the gossip, here on LFA TV's Rise Up. And the verse of the day today is going to come from Matthew 16:24. And Matthew 16:24 simply says, then Jesus told his disciples, quote, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16:24. Now, you're going to get this same setting whether you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. You're going to get different perspectives, but you're going to get the same pick up your cross, deny yourself, deny the flesh, deny your desires, deny the world, separate yourself from the world, pick up your cross, and carry me. Carry it, and follow me. Now again, in Jesus' day, if somebody said something about carrying your own cross, you knew that that meant you were going to get crucified and die. But what does Jesus mean when he tells you your own, to carry your own cross, pick it up and follow him? And is it a contradiction that Jesus tells you to carry the weight of your own cross, but at the same time tells you to release your burdens onto him? Because his yoke is light, not heavy, and he can carry your burdens for you. And the answer is a lot more deep than just saying yes or no. But let me start out by saying no, it's not a contradiction. It aligns perfectly, like every book of the Bible. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Matthew 16:24. I did send you all a newsletter, so make sure that you go in there and that you have access to that verse, the link of today's show, forward the email. That's how we bring people into the fold, okay? All right. Lord and Heavenly Father, on this Tuesday of Holy Week, we remember and we read and we worship and we pray over what your Son our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, did for us over 2,000 years ago. Today, he is teaching. He's giving messages in the temple. He's doing signs of wonders. And the people are loving him. Today on Holy Tuesday, Lord, we remember why we have the ability to come to you today. How we have the ability to have a new covenant with you today. Making us children of God rather than enslaved for an eternity destined for the lake of fire. We are so grateful for this week, Lord. We are so grateful for what happened this week over 2,000 years ago. We are also very grateful to be hated, Lord. We are grateful to bear and carry our own cross, to mimic and mirror what our Lord and Savior did for us. We are so grateful to be the shining light of your word. We pray that this message gets out far and wide. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'll seal it with two amens. How about that? Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to envision, and it's very easy for you to do because you've all seen depictions of Jesus doing this. I want you to envision picking up a 200 to 300 pound sliver-filled, rough, odd-shaped, which means the weight distribution is all messed up, cross with no handles on it, and putting it, heaving it on your shoulder, and trying to walk with it. No wheels on the back like they do today. Dragging it on the ground, whether it be grass, gravel, stone, or pavement. I want you to close your eyes while I am saying this, and you back up to a 200 to 300 pound rough, oddly shaped, weird weight distribution cross. You put it on your shoulder and you try to walk. Now, what is that going to entail physically? Well, first of all, you're going to need to be strong enough to do it. And let's just talk about doing it healthy. Let's not talk about doing it with our back ripped open and our muscles and nerves and spinal cord exposed. Let's not talk about doing it with our front of our body ripped open and our intestines literally visible. Let's not talk about doing it with 39 lashes because 40 was the maximum. Let's not talk about doing it with people spitting on you, laughing at you, calling you names, mocking you, kicking you, pushing you, yelling at you. Let's envision doing it just healthy. What would it physically entail? It would entail you walking up to the cross. And let's say it's already propped up and ready for you, that all you got to do is just back up like a truck, beep, 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 put it on your shoulder and walk with it. Let's talk about the easiest way to carry a cross when you're at your most healthy. It would entail you grabbing it with both hands. It would entail you grabbing it here and grabbing it here and trying to balance it, not only from you tipping forward or falling back, but from you going side to side. So you have to have a base, a foundation that is based and strong, and you're going to be walking forward. You're not going to be leaning because the weight would be too heavy, you'd fall over. You're going to try to be keeping it straight up, means your core is at its tightest. You are trying to stay straight and based and balanced and wide, and you're trying to drag a 200 to 300 pound sliver-filled cross across the ground. Healthy, safe, and not ultimately walking a few miles until you get crucified. So, if you have this cross, imagine it, envision it, understand this. Are you ready? What we pick up, the cross, determines what we have to put down in order to do it. You need all hands on deck. You need all hands on deck. You need all feet on deck. You need to be focused. You need to be strong. You need to be determined. And that's you healthy. But you don't have the ability to do anything else. You can't carry anything else. You can't focus on anything else. Think about it. And I really need you to envision this today, whether you like it or not. So what we pick up determines what we put down. So when we start picking up our crosses, as Jesus did, guess what I can't hold on to anymore? I can't hold on to pride. I can't hold on to my ego. It's impossible. I'm carrying too much. I don't have the ability. When I start carrying my cross, as Jesus did and commanded us to do, I don't have the capacity to carry this massive 200 to 300 pound cross and at the same time carry my own offenses. OSS Ninja just said, I need to go to confession. No, you don't. You need to confess. You don't need to go to confession. There's no need for that. There's nobody on this earth who you need to go to confess. You drop to your knees. That's where you go. Right to the floor. That's where you go. That's where you confess. That is where you lay it all out for God. Not in a confession booth to some priest who's a mediator. That's not going to do you any good. Not spiritually, maybe physically, maybe emotionally, but not spiritually. Confess to God on your knees right where you are. And if you are unable to be on your knees, then confess to him where you are. I don't have the ability to carry this 200 to 300 pound wooden cross and at the same time carry my offenses. It is impossible. When we pick up our crosses, folks, we are forced. Let me say this again. We are forced to put down unforgiveness. I can't physically carry it. We are forced to put down resentment. I can't carry it. I'm busy carrying something else that's far heavier. We are forced to put down jealousy. I can't carry it. We are forced to put down anger and strife. I can't carry it. I'm carrying a cross right now. We're forced to put down depression and loneliness and sadness. Why? Because I can't carry that right now. I got to get, that's going to be another time or not ever. I'm carrying a cross right now. My pride is dying with every single slow step. But guess what? My pride might be dying, but with it, my humility is rising. Meaning, if you want to take this and get deeper into the parable of this, or the analogy, some might say, well, Jeremy, you don't physically hold on to anger. You don't physically hold on to depression. I would argue, yes, you do. But let's talk about that for a minute. Guess what else you're doing when you're physically carrying the cross? You're focusing on nothing else but that. What did Jesus say to Peter on the seas as they were raging? What did Jesus say to Peter? Don't focus on the storm. Focus on me. So while you're carrying that cross, you are by default focusing on the cross because you can't focus on anything else. I'm telling you, folks, this kind of thinking will change your life. So while your pride is dying, your humility is rising. Which one would you rather have? Which one would you rather people look at you and say, that person is? Here's another visual for you. Okay? It's kind of hard to sin when you're carrying a massive 200 to 300 pound wooden cross, isn't it? This goes back to the focus thing. It's not so convenient, is it, to gossip at the water cooler at work? Talking trash about other employees on the job site while you're all working there towards the same goal. Not so easy to gossip walking to the water cooler with your cross, is it? Is it? It's not so easy to pick up, you know what, you say, you know what, I just need a break from my cubicle here for a minute. I'm going to go to the water cooler and see what those guys are talking about over there. You're going to think twice about it if you've got to pick up your cross and walk over there, aren't you? You're not going to want to stand over there under the weight of that cross and be like, you heard what so-and-so did and said? Might feel a little weird, huh? Getting into an affair, cheating on your spouse. And what if you don't have a spouse? What if you are sleeping with somebody who does have a spouse and they're cheating? It would be a little weird to have an affair one way or the other, wouldn't it? Carrying your cross. What are they going to say? Hey, how you doing? Good. How you doing? Oh, I'm good. You want to meet up tonight? Oh, I think I could probably get away. I think I could probably pull it off. Great. That's awesome. I really want to see you. I want to see you too. Awesome. Hey, you going to be bringing that cross with you? What's that? Oh, I was just wondering, when you sneak away from your duties and responsibilities and obligations and your loving spouse or whatever it is, and you come and see me, you're gonna be bringing that cross with you? Oh yeah, that's right. I got this cross. Yeah, maybe we shouldn't do this. Maybe it's gonna be a little weird. I gotta carry this whole thing. I can't set it down. So while I'm carrying this cross, it's probably a little weird. We probably should not do this. See, it's a focus thing. Think about that. What it allows you to do is it allows you to self-convict in real time. It allows you to course correct before the sin happens, rather than apologizing after it happens. Because carrying your cross is a blessing to you for that reason alone, but you carrying your cross is a burden to the world. Let me say that one more time. Are you ready? The cross is not a burden to carry. No matter how heavy it is, no matter how splintery it is, the cross is a blessing to carry because it keeps you on the right path. The cross that you're carrying is a burden to the world around you. They don't want you doing that. How dare you carry that cross around me? Now I can't cheat with you. Yeah, no, you can't. Jesus knew that carrying your own cross would be a blessing to you, not a burden. Because carrying his cross was a blessing for all of us. And we can cast our burdens on what happened on the cross by carrying our own. You see, people can't understand that. Non-believers can't understand that. They'd be like, whoa, 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 that doesn't make any sense. And you say, no, it doesn't to you yet. What did Jesus say? You don't see yet what I am doing, but sooner or later, someday in the future, you will see. The cross is not a burden to you. It's a blessing. It's a burden to the people around you. Again, I'll say this. When I am carrying my cross, it determines what I have to put down. Because I can't carry any of that stuff and carry a cross at the same time. It would be impossible. So the moral of today's message, the cross is not a burden to you. It's a blessing for you. It's a burden to the world around you. It's also a representation of the Holy Spirit guiding you with every step you take. Mine, symbolically, is right here. My wife got this for me. There's two things that I never leave the house without. Now, I have done it before, and I feel so terrible. But I never leave the house without my marriage to my wife, no matter what we're going through. And I never leave my house without my marriage to the cross. Ever. No matter what I'm going through. Now, a good practice for people is to get yourself a little wooden cross. You know how some people have stress balls and they carry around their stress ball all the time and they're squeezing it or they've got a fidget spinner or whatever it is that keeps their mind, you know, off things? Get yourself a little wooden cross. And every time you get up off your desk at work, every time you leave, every time you get into your car, every time you go somewhere, pick up your cross. I do. And it doesn't have to be a necklace. I think it would be a good thing. Maybe we should all get little wooden crosses and make sure that we carry our cross wherever we go. It'll be a good focus for you. Oh, I'm getting ready to go to the water cooler for a drink. Let me grab my cross to make sure that when I get there to get my drink, that that's what I'm there doing. That I'm not there gossiping. Because I got my wooden cross, I can't carry gossip. I can't carry that kind of stuff while I'm carrying my cross. Now, I want to tell you a story. And I am not proud of this story. And it's a time when I sinned incredibly, horribly, and I almost died, but God saved my life as a result of it. And I was a non-believer then. Again, I am not fond of this story, but here it goes. When I was I was having an affair with a married woman. Now, I wasn't married. I had no kids. I had no obligations, duties, or responsibilities as it pertains to family or anything like that. So I didn't care, and I didn't see what I was really doing wrong, believe it or not. And I had this attitude back then of like, oh, well, keep your wife happy, and she wouldn't be coming to my house. That's how I thought. Now, Crystal, you may remember this story, you may not. But I was having an affair with a married woman, and she would leave her house at nighttime, come over to my house, then she'd leave and go back home afterwards. I'm sure you can figure it out. And it felt like it was getting a little bit risky. It felt like we were about ready to be caught. You know when you feel like something's about ready to happen? And I got a phone call one day. It was from her husband. Now, that night, the night before, she had been over at my house. I got a call from her husband, and I see who it is on the cell phone, and I'm like, back then it was flip phones. And I'm like, why is he calling me? In that pit of my stomach, I could feel that feeling of uh-oh. So I picked up the phone, and he said, he wasn't happy, I could tell that. And I can't remember, because it was 20 years ago, exactly how the conversation went, but I'll just paraphrase here. He said, what were you doing last night? And I said, nothing, man. Chilling, watching TV. Why? What's up? He's like, oh, you sure you weren't having sex with my wife? Imagine my lump in my throat. Imagine that. And I said, what are you talking about, man? Don't be calling me with this kind of stuff. He goes, no, I just want to make sure that you weren't having sex with my wife, because from my vantage point, it looked like you were. And I was like, dude, what are you talking about? Trying to get out of it, you know? He was like, well, I want you to know that last night you were in your house. You were wearing, he told me what I was wearing. He told me what time my wife got, or his wife got there. He told me what she was wearing. He told me what was on the TV, which was Star Wars Episode 3, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken. It's like 2005, 2006. He's like, Star Wars was on. And he goes, and I watched you have sex with my wife on that black futon. At that moment, what are you going to say? Because he was right about everything he said. So I'm thinking to myself, you sat outside my house and watched this? And I said, yeah, okay, what are you? Okay, whatever. So what are you, spying on me now? What are you, like, getting your jollies off of watching that or something like that? At this point, I became, like, defensive and almost went on the offensive, right? To try to get out of my own sin. And this part right here changed my life forever. He said, you are only alive today because I allowed you to be alive today. I said, what in the H-E double hockey sticks are you talking about? I probably used the F word. I said, what are you talking about? Are you threatening me now? He said, no. I'm not threatening you. You were being threatened last night. By the grace of God, you are alive today. I said, what are you talking about? He said, I had you. How do you know that how do you think that I saw everything so clearly? I said, what are you talking about? He said, I had you in the crosshairs of my scope of my 30-06. There was a bullet in the chamber and I had my finger on the trigger and I almost blew your head off. Your head almost became a red stain on the back wall. And knowing this man the way that I knew him, I knew he was telling me the truth. Would have been a lot harder to do that carrying a cross, don't you think, for me? So you don't have to be married to have an affair. Mermaid says, I would have fired that rifle. You would have been mush. I can't say that I wouldn't have done the same thing. But he didn't. And he was a druggie. He was mentally unstable. Still is today, I think. A lot older than me. And Crystal, you know it. You just said he's insane too. God had your back. There is no other explanation. God knew that I would become a child of God later in the future. He knew what I would be doing. He knew we would be doing this right here. And he knew, because he's in our future, in our past, he knew that I would be talking about it today. I am only alive today by the grace of God. And my stories, which are vast, which a lot of you've never even heard yet, can help other people. I know they can. That's what I'm here to do. And I'm telling you, if you carry your cross daily, that means you have to put your pride down. You have to put your anger down. You have to put your jealousy down. You have to put your strife and division down. You have to put your depression and your loneliness down. You've got to put it all down because you can't carry it. And you can't do these bad, sinful things while you're carrying it. Wouldn't you rather do that? W. Wilson said, that's why sex out of marriage is so wrong, no matter who the act is with. That, among many other things, you are correct 100%. Crystal says he's unstable even to this day. Crystal, you know that family. You know what his sister did 20 years in prison for. Murder! That he actually committed and she took the rap for. Let me tell you, folks, this man murdered somebody who was cheating with his wife. Crystal, correct? This other guy who was his wife was cheating on, he murdered him. And he let his sister take the rap for it. She took the rap for it and went to jail for 20 years. I could have been that guy. Listen to what I'm telling you, folks. My life was nuts. So to be here doing this today, this alone is a blessing for anybody who knew me. Because that family is a family of murderers. Wow. I haven't revisited that story in a long time. I am so glad to be carrying a cross now. I'm actually shaken telling that story. Because I came that close to death. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Spence is a co-worker over at Living Waters with Ray Comfort. And I'll be playing his video now.
Still one thing to be a thief. You've had hatred in your heart, you're a murderer. That's severe, but it's true.
You're saying I'm forever the enemy of God?
If I've used God's name in vain, and the Bible says that his enemies use his name in vain, how do I go from being an enemy to a friend?
No, I've actually never thought about it.
Isn't that interesting?
The way that you're bringing it to me is like a whole different perspective.
Why you doing me like that, bro?
I'm in Louisville, Kentucky, home of the Kentucky Derby, the Louisville Slugger, Muhammad Ali. The city's got everything from a booming food scene to vibrant arts, deep roots in history, and church steeples as common as coffee shops. This place is often called the belt buckle of the Bible Belt, where some folks think they're Christians just because they raise their hands.
I'm Christian, Baptist.
But no repentance, no transformation, just a dangerous dose of false assurance. And that's a recipe for disaster. It fills the churches with people who think that they're good with God, but they lack repentance. They've never actually surrendered to God. Watch what happens when I talk to someone who built their hope on that shaky foundation.
What does your necklace say?
It's my mother. It's her urn. Passed away on Mother's Day last year.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
She was precious to you.
Yeah.
You hope to see her again someday?
Yeah.
What do you think happens after we die?
Don't have an answer. Some days I think reincarnation, but then some days I think that it's the Matrix. Overall, I believe in God, higher power. I'm Christian, Baptist. Other than that, I don't know. Think about it too long, it'll kind of make you get lost in life.
Okay, so we've got God, higher power, Christian, Baptist. It's a bit of a smorgasbord of alphabet soup. I'm just glad that he's open about where he's at. And that kind of honesty, well, it is really rare. But here's the thing, though. Calling yourself a Christian without knowing Christ is like claiming that you're married because you went to somebody else's wedding. Titles don't save us. Jesus does. He didn't come to give us vague religion or a spiritual resume. He came to rescue us. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So the question isn't just, do you believe in God, but do you know God? And does he know you? John 17:3 says, "And this is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Would you consider yourself to be a good person, Antonio?
Yes, sir.
What makes Antonio a good guy?
My natural instincts are just positive.
Do you think God would consider Antonio to be a good person?
Sure. He understands I made mistakes and I learned from them.
He claims to be a Christian, but he also claims to be good. And that's a red flag, because the gospel is not for good people. It's for guilty people who know it. And that's where the law comes in. It strips an individual of their self-righteousness, and it leaves us face to face with our need of a savior. Have you heard of the Ten Commandments?
Yep.
All right, so I'm going to put you on blast for just a moment, and we're going to determine whether or not Antonio is a good person. You're probably a better person than me. The ninth commandment says, "You shall not bear false witness." You shall not lie. How many lies has Antonio told over the course of his life?
I guess I've lied once. I can just say one lie.
I'm a lot worse than you, because I've told, I think, innumerable amount of lies. The eighth commandment, you shall not steal. Have you ever stolen something over the course of your life?
Possibly have taken things in my life.
What do you call somebody who steals things?
Someone who stole something.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I mean, a thief.
Here's the commandment that got me, that demonstrated really that I wasn't a good person. And that is the seventh commandment. It says you should not commit adultery. But Jesus said, if you've ever had lustful thoughts, then you're guilty of adultery. Meaning God not only sees the people you're with, but the people you wish you were with, right? God sees the intentions of your heart and your mind. Are you guilty of breaking that?
Yeah.
Third commandment, you shall not use God's name in vain. It's called blasphemy. Innocent or guilty of using God's name in vain?
Yeah.
Guilty. The Bible says that God's enemies use his name in vain. And we come along, we go, really? God's enemies use his name in vain? I don't know about that. But then we think about it like this. Would you ever use your mother's name like as a cuss word?
No.
No, because she's precious to you, right?
Right, right.
She didn't do the best job, but she did the best she could do.
Right.
And yet we wouldn't do it with our mom's name, but we did it with the one who made our mom.
Correct.
Right?
Right.
If God's standard of good is the Ten Commandments, and we've all broken those Ten Commandments, then it would be impossible to become good. It's like this. You only have to lie one time to be a liar, steal one thing to be a thief. So even if that rapist never rapes somebody else ever again, they will forever be branded a rapist because they raped one person. Right? That's severe, but it's true.
You're saying I'm forever the enemy of God?
That would make sense, though, right? I've used God's name in vain, and the Bible says that his enemies use his name in vain. How do I go from being an enemy to a friend?
Oh,
right? What do I need to do?
I don't know. I've actually never thought about it.
Isn't that interesting?
The way that you're bringing it to me is like a whole different perspective.
All right, so this is my take.
What did you do?
What did I do? It wasn't by now doing good deeds, helping old ladies across the street, memorizing the Bible. It wasn't by any of these things, because God is not impressed when I do a good deed. If I put money in the offering plate at church, God doesn't go, "I just needed that $20 now. Good, thank you."
Whoa.
Right? God's not impressed. He's not broke. He doesn't need the money. So I don't serve God to gain his acceptance. I am accepted, therefore I serve God. But now the question is, what happened that made me accepted in the sight of God? What do you think?
I don't know. I can't think of it.
This is a strong clue. He's probably not a Christian. If you've been rescued, you don't forget your rescuer. You don't forget the one who pulled you out. He couldn't say what makes him right with God. That's not a small miss. That is the heart of the gospel. He may not know every verse, but he should know the cross. with love and compassion, it is time to press in a bit.
You mentioned that you're a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
I'm a follower of Jesus Christ.
Before I became a Christian, I was a bit of a con man. And I wanted to be like the best con man this world has ever seen. I wanted to steal money from old ladies as soon as they inherited it from their spouses. That's what I wanted to do. That's me.
I wouldn't see you as that person.
Right? I got voted most polite in school. In fact, the night that I became a Christian, I was going to steal thousands of pairs of Levi jeans from a department store called Miller's Outpost in Southern California. And I found a little piece of paper on the ground that invited me to go to this event where a guy would be sharing with the people the same message that I'm sharing with you. And this is what he said. What would it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world and then he forfeits his soul? And being a con man, I was a covetous man. I wanted what I didn't have. I wanted to get it any way I could get it. But then I also realized that if God judged me and he gave me justice, I would go to hell because I broke his law. And then I heard this, that God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. He lived a perfect life. He never lied. He never looked with lust, which is adultery. He never blasphemed. He never broke any of the commandments. And then he was unjustly condemned to die on a Roman cross overlooking the town dump. He never broke the law. Nope. He was put to death because God knew that you and I, Antonio, could never make it to heaven by our own merit. It'd be like this. If I say, hey, man, I want you to jump in one jump all the way to the Bay Area from here in Louisville. Would you be able to do it?
Yeah, hold on 1 second.
No. Right? You couldn't do it. So you may be better than me and I might be better than him, but none of that matters because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But then this man went on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life. And that gift is only found in Jesus Christ. So there's a catch. There's a caveat. The Bible says you must be born again. And when Jesus said that, the man listening to that question, he goes, well, what does that mean? Do I have to enter back into my mother's womb? And he goes, ah, no. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You must be born from above. So whatever it means to be born again, we must be that born again, or we won't enter into the kingdom of heaven. And what it means is it's a surrender of your life for all that you are and all that you've done, for all that he is. It's an exchange. Your sinful life is now imputed to Christ. The righteous life of Christ is imputed to you as if you've never sinned. You are now declared right based upon the acts of another. And the Bible says there's no greater love than this than one to lay down his life for his friends. And while I was yet his enemy, he died. So what God requires of all men everywhere is to repent and place their trust in Jesus. And that's what that guy shared with me. He says, Mark, you need to repent, which means to change your mind. You need to get on that narrow road. And the only way you'll get on that narrow road is if you place your trust and faith in me. Like if you're going to jump 10,000 feet out of a plane, you're going to put on a parachute and make sure that it's tight and secure, right? That makes sense. We have a jump to come. And if you don't have that savings account, if you would, which is found in Jesus Christ, because there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby which man must be saved, then there's hell to pay. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. So what God is requiring of you is a complete surrender. He doesn't want part of your life. He doesn't want you on Sunday mornings. It's a complete surrender. I can't get to heaven on my own, but you made a way where there seems to be no way. I don't want just fire insurance either, because there's more than that. Christianity is so much more than that. The God who created sex is a beautiful thing. The God who created seafood and sunsets wants to have a relationship with me. And that is what he's offering. Repent and place your trust in Christ. It's not about being baptized. If it's about being baptized, well then I did this great work to get to heaven. God goes, no, there's nothing you can do. You're saved by grace through faith, not of works. So you can't boast. So now my question to you, Antonio, is are you ready and willing to do that? Or when are you going to do that?
I'm gonna pray on it.
The Apostle Paul, he said, hey, you guys are more noble-minded than those in this other area called Thessalonica because you're searching the Bible to see if what I'm saying to you is true and accurate. You're not just saying, well, you're the Apostle Paul, I must believe it. No, you're studying it. So Antonio, study it. Open up the Bible. See if what I'm sharing with you lines up with what Jesus taught inside the Word of God. How old are you gonna be when you die? We don't know. When death comes knocking, you're going to answer that door. And I want you, my friend, to answer that door hand in hand with Christ, because it is hell to pay for those who've broken his law, but it's heaven, heaven's reward for those who place their trust in Christ. Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for watching. Yep.
I love me some Living Waters and Mike Spence. Now, he's no Ray Comfort, but he works with him. Okay, that's like saying, I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV. Well, guys, I really hope today's message was a good one for you. I know it was for me. It made me realize that literally everywhere I go, do I have my cross? Am I carrying my cross? Because if I'm not carrying my cross where I'm going, the door to sin is wide open. But if I'm carrying that cross, I can't let go of it. That means I have to put down my ego, lust, jealousy, anger. I got to focus on the weight of this cross. And while unbelievers would say that's a burden, we say that's a blessing. Sean Farish comes up next right here on LFA TV with Ungoverned, followed by 2 hours of Live from America. I love you guys. I really do thank you for joining in every morning. Together, we're going to become a better group of people here on LFA TV. See you later.
With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. All that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing high. Don't you get shy.